be honest,
I like totally felt like a smoke show today. I took a shower, like, and brushed my hair out, made it nice and... Ah, fuck! Why do these Target things always explode on me? God damn it. I buy these fucking Market Pantry zero calorie fucking waters, and I swear to God, like, a quarter of them are ticking time bombs waiting to explode with carbonation. And I know there's no, like, Surgeon General's warning on here, but I kind of feel like if I get cancer from it one day, I'll be like, you know, like fizzy kidney or whatever they're gonna call it. I'll be like, you know what? I probably had it coming. I don't drink regular water. I drink nothing but fizzy water. My kidneys are gonna fizz up and explode out of my mouth. I don't know how kidneys work. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. Yet, I'm not, you know, doctor's orders part 5 coming this month. I'm all wet now. Not in a sexy way. Hey guys, what's up? It's your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. How are you, United States? I'm way better than the rest of a lot of this country that I am unfortunately stuck in. I mean, really, like, everything's on fire, and we thought, like, COVID was going to be the worst part. No, no, no. Now there's COVID, and everything's on fire. We got the pandemic, and somehow, like, Australian fires and the Chinese unrest all in one. They come in threes, baby. We're America, land of the great. You have one fucking disaster, give us three, mother. Not only will it not just come to us like by nature, we will make it come to us. If nature doesn't fuck us over, don't worry. Our own idiocy is here as a backup. Mother Nature, we have your back. You know? You don't have to even send a hurricane. We're just going to fuck ourselves in the end. Oh, I mean, not to disparage the fantastic candidates of this year's presidential election. I'm sure whoever inherits this country next, hell, maybe Trump will even continue his presidency into the apocalypse. Whoever inherits this dumpster fire next, literal dumpster fire now. I mean, I thought it was funny when I said little dung heap was burning. No, no. It now literally was. My 2020 slogan is actually more correct. I really am going to put that on a shirt now. I'm going to commission it. It has to be made. Look for that announcement coming this Friday, along with the 50K special. It should be a lot of fun. Anyway, I need to get back to my original point, which was fucking fires, right? The world is ablaze with fucking hatred and racial tension. And it's like, it's not fun, right? Because also, I don't want to get sick and die and... like, also, people are just looting and everything's insane. So, but on the plus side, like, gas prices are pretty low. So that's nice. Not that I can go most places, and most big cities are quarantined and on fire. So, like, that little cabin in the middle of nowhere is just better and better, right? Where are you, Yandere? I'll quarantine with you for real. Like, out in the middle of nowhere? That sounds fucking great. We'll just watch the city burning in the distance and be like, you know what? You're not as crazy as I thought you were. This country living is for me. Anyway, so in the midst of all this, I had the good fortune to watch a terrible fucking movie yesterday on Amazon Prime. It's there if you want to watch it now. Apparently, it came out on Sci-Fi in 2015. It is called... And now, here's not the most shocking part, is the title, which is Sharktopus... I can talk. I'm high, and I think I can talk. Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf. Now, I love the idea of a whale wolf. It was disappointing. Like, the fucking CGI was atrocious, was worse. Here's the worst part, okay? There was blackface. There was blackface in this movie that came out on, like, a major cable channel in 2015. And the vast majority of black representation in the film was like modern day tribal voodoo priest man and his associates. And this one tribal priestess, who was clearly a lighter skinned woman, covered in dark brown makeup. Oh God, and I think kind of watching that, kind of like massively taken aback, like, I feel so gross, like I need a shower while I'm watching this. Like, how did so many people approve this? How did no one be like, you know, considering today's climate, I feel like painting an actor darker has kind of gone out of style a little bit. Maybe consider either hiring a darker actress or leaving her lighter in color. That's my suggestion. But I'm just a very PC individual, you know. Go ahead and make your sci-fi minstrel show. I'm sure it'll turn out fantastic. And I would totally tweet about this absolute fuckfest, but I feel like the entire world is already on fire. And so my muted outrage at the blackface involved in Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf will just fade away in the breeze, at least for the time being, because the world is fucking on fire. And not in a good way. We're like, shit, you're on fire. Mm. Now all they think is when you're on fire is just like, oh God, no. It's really hard to extinguish gasoline fire. I mean, really it is. I've seen so many videos of people like, well, like, that sounds bad. I shouldn't continue this because we're talking happy things, right? And one of the happy things, happy talk now. Hooray, happy talk, happy talk. No more problems. We're just listening to sound. And there's no racial tension in sound. Shut the fuck up. Don't fucking say a word. Don't you quote history to me. We're going to ignore all of that. And continue on where we last left in what is both very problematic as a world in general, this fairy tale world. I mean, it's kind of fucking awful, right? But then the longer I spend in 2020, the more I might be able to put up with a lot of these crazy rules, because at least magic is a thing, right? And like, if you die in fairy tale world, you could possibly come back. I mean, you die a lot, though. People die all the time. Okay, I really need to get away from this death subject. Oh my God. Okay, let me take a drink. This is intermission. Happy intermission. Think your happy thoughts. There's sunshine and puppies and rainbows. And they're all in the meadow. And they're prancing away. La, 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 la. Yes, I know you guys like to hear me ramble and rant. I've heard it before. If you don't like it, shut the fuck up. This is my audio, bitch. I didn't fucking make you click on this. Stop listening. Yeah, that's right. You little worm, you like to fucking be told what to do. That's right. Fucking like it. Do what mistress tells you. And continue to listen as I actually promise I will get my ass onto this fucking show. The show must go on. Despite the world burning, let's go fiddle as we read The Robber Bridegroom. A princess was pledged to marry a prince, and he asked her many times to come once and visit him in his castle. But since the way to the castle led through a large forest, she continually refused because she feared she might lose her way. Bitch is me. Before, like, GPS. Fucking me. I remember my mom, she would want to go, like, garage sailing, right? She loved garage sales and estate sales. Like, every mom, right? Like, I don't want to go. I don't want to paw through these people's weird-ass shit. It's like going to Goodwill, but the person who donated just stands there and watches you as you, like, tell me that's not awkward as fuck. Stop watching me and like hoping I buy your stupid shit. Oh, I hated it. And it's worse when you're like 13 and already like a loser and you're like, really, mom? Like, and so she'd be like, you know, you have to hold the map and give me directions. No, no, that's terrible. And she would get all mad because I was shitty at the map. It's a fucking map. Maps are trash. See, this is what we need to get back to, right? First world fucking problems, not like world being on fire and epidemics. No, this is the kind of first world problem I like. This is what I'm used to. I grew up and I'm entitled. So say like every generation that's not like, you know, I mean, everybody hates the younger generation. Well, they hate millennials. Zoomers, I think, get a pass. Everybody's like, yeah, Zoomers are good. I think that's because you guys haven't had enough time to start fucking shit up. And then when you have kids, they're going to be like, ugh, Zoomers are trash. It's like shitty, right? You're only good for a short period of time, and then you're trash. Except some people, like me, born trash. That's the key to success. Be born in the gutter. I'm thriving in here, you can tell. And now you're down here with me in the gutter hell. See, my mom gave me the map and was like, take me to the garage sale. And I'm like, no, I'm taking you down into this erotic gutter hell. We're continuing the story again. Okay, I'm starting from the beginning. I clearly just want to hear myself talk like every day of the week. Let's start again. We're going to do this. Wait, was that intermission? It was intermission. Cool. Okay. Let's start from the beginning because I forgot what the fuck I read. This is The Robber Bridegroom. A princess was pledged to marry a prince because fuck what she wants. And then he asked her many times to come once and visit him in the castle. Yeah, he wants to fuck. But since the way to the castle led through a large forest, she continually refused because she feared she might lose her way. I mean, that's kind of fucking smart, right? Because back then, they don't have much direction. He's just like, yeah, just make your way through this fucking terrifying dark forest by yourself. It won't meet you halfway. I won't tell you how to get here. Just kind of fucking do it, bitch. If you love me, you'll fucking make your way through this giant maze forest, which will probably lead to your inevitable death. I mean, for fuck's sake. Like, really? Bitch gotta try that hard? Nowadays with Tinder? Like, it's crazy. She pledged to marry him? No, bitch, you get your ass over to me. I'm a fucking princess. I'm like a delicate little goddamn flower. They're all stuck up in towers and shit. How are they supposed to work out? How are they supposed to fight off a fucking savage wolf attack? They can't, right? They're all stuck up in their tower with their super long-ass hair. And this isn't a Disney movie. Princesses wouldn't be that strong. They'd be feeble as fuck. Let's be honest. I know feeble isn't sexy, but it's true. I'm gonna continue reading, I swear to God. If that was her concern, the prince told her he would readily help her by tying a ribbon on each tree so that she could easily find her way. Nevertheless, she tried to postpone the trip for some time since she inwardly dreaded it. I mean, I can't really blame her. Also, like, why didn't he just come to get her? Why does he stop to tie a ribbon but not lead her back through? It sounds like a trap. Right? Like, can you imagine if your date said that? You're like, I'm going to meet you at the restaurant. And you sit down and there's just like an envelope on the table. And it's like, follow the X's through the alleyway to find me. I'm like, okay, I'm being murdered. This isn't cute. This is fucking creepy. You're leading me to what? Some kind of rape murder? This is definitely murder involved. I'm guessing probably rape. If it's not rape, I'll be offended. I know they say it's about violence, but I refuse. I take it very personally. Forget I said that. This is a very dark time. Dark humor is funny, okay? Get off my back. Jeez. I swear. Anyway, finally, she couldn't make any more excuses and had to set out one day on the journey. I mean, I feel like you made a lot of excuses. I discovered I'm gay. I'm having too much lesbian sex. To look for your stupid fucking ribbons. You can't even meet me here, you lazy piece of shit. I'm gonna be married to you? I don't think so. I'm gonna fuck, like, every fucking housemaid there. Every servant girl. Yeah. Oh, it'd be like a fucking brothel house of lesbian sex if I'd be forced to fucking marry that guy. I mean, she's gay, right? This is what I think. She's probably gay. It took her the entire day to walk through a long, long forest. Is she alone? Because that's super stupid. When she finally arrived at a large house, everything was quiet inside, and only an old woman sat in front of the door. Can you tell me whether the prince, my bridegroom, lives here?
It's good, my child, that you have come now,
responded the woman,
because the prince is not at home. Before your arrival, I had to fetch water and pour it into a large kettle. They want to kill you.
Oh, God, it was a trap.
And afterward, the cook could eat you.
What the fuck? What the fucking fuck? I was right. Jeez, I thought I was overthinking things. I was correctly thinking things. Don't follow the fucking ribbons into the trap where they'll eat you. Although, I guess if he had just led me there himself, I would have still fallen into the trap. I guess, like, be more thoughtful when you're putting together a trap. You have to be more trustworthy than follow the ribbons. You know, and then the only fucking person you leave watching your murder house is a snitch? Dude, you fucking suck at this. You're gonna be killed and you fucking deserve it, Prince Douche. Can't even plan a fucking murder easy. Jesus Christ. He's gonna kill them at the own house they're supposed to meet up in? That's a fucking terrible idea. Where are they going to look at the first place? Oh, she's going to meet the prince. Oh, let's look at the fucking house in the middle of the woods. Oh, where did all this blood come from? What? Terrible, terrible idea. Take her to a different location. God damn it, prince. Oh, I can't believe I have to teach them how to kill appropriately. And it's never appropriate, my lawyer has advised me to say. And just as she was saying this, the prince could be seen returning from a robbery. With his villainous band of why does he need to rob? Does he have a drug problem? I mean, they're eating people. It's probably bath salts, right? Fortunately, the old woman took pity on the princess because of her youth and beauty. What the hell? She took pity on the princess because she was attractive? That should have nothing to do with why you take pity on someone that's going to be killed by their betrothed and cooked and eaten. I'm sorry. I feel like that's automatic pity given. It's pretty fucked up. Like, if you were old and ugly, she'd have been like, go on, get in there. Meet your maker, bitch. You're old and ugly. It's fucked up, man. It's fucking parallel with the world, am I right? Joke's on them, though. When you have social anxiety, you're like, good, I want to be invisible. Ha. 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 Okay. She was attractive, so it was okay to feel bad for her. And before anyone had noticed her, she said, quick, go down into the cellar and hide yourself behind a large barrel. What is it filled with, like, other people? No sooner did the princess dash down into the cellar than the robbers also went down there, dragging an old woman whom they had captured. The princess saw clearly that it was her grandmother, for she... What do they have against her? Like, why are they all eating her family? Is her family particularly tasty? They have a vendetta against the kingdom? Like, why? I really want to know, why are they so delicious? What's the secret? A royal marinade? For she could see everything that happened from her corner without being noticed. The robbers grabbed hold of the old grandmother, killed her, and pulled off all the rings from her fingers, one after the other. However, the gold ring of one of her fingers wouldn't come off, so one of the robbers took a hatchet and chopped off the finger. This is a nice, happy time story. But the finger sprang behind the barrel and fell right into the princess's lap. After the robbers had searched in vain for the finger a long time, one of them spoke out, "Has anyone looked behind the large barrel?" So instead of just going to look, you think it's more prudent to say it out loud, therefore alerting anyone who's behind the large barrel. Good job, fucking Joe. Joe Jonathan Joshery. Fucking terrible recruit.
Has anyone looked behind the barrel?
It's better if we continue searching when there's more light, another said. Early tomorrow morning we'll continue looking. Then we'll soon find the ring. Soon thereafter the robbers lay down to sleep in the cellar, and as they were sleeping and snoring, the bride came out from behind the barrel. The robbers really fucking waited all day. They didn't just fucking check it. They just fucking fell asleep. Oh my god. It's the laziest fucking people in the history of mankind. Look, if the prince had just met her, he could have ensured that they were all there to kill her when she arrived, as opposed to just waiting there forever and hoping she shows up. That's a terrible idea. Could you imagine that? That's like telling somebody you want to go on a date and they're like, yeah, I don't know, maybe eventually. And so you just sit at the restaurant every day forever, just like waiting for them to arrive, instead of just like making sure you'd set up a date when they're ready. I don't know. I guess I'm not old fashioned that way. I like to do things like a fucking millennial, bitch. Okay, we're all horrible. Embrace it. Just need a fucking shirt now that says horrible millennial. That's me. I don't do shit. Look, I make my money on fucking Patreon. They hate my kind. I don't do real work, like chopping wood or drilling for oil. Those are real jobs, right? Those are people jobs. I'm not a doctor or like a space dentist, you know? A charcoal burner? That's a good job. I've heard it back in the day. You can make potatoes on your stomach. I lost my place again. My apologies. We need to find out if these terrible fucking people eaters eat our peoples. Oh, yeah, they just fell asleep instead of checking behind the barrel that was like 20 feet away. That's what procrastination gets you. Okay, she snuck out from behind the barrel. She had to step over the sleeping men until she came to the door. She cautiously entered the rooms in between, and she was constantly afraid that she might wake someone. But fortunately, nothing happened. And once she reached the outside door and was in the forest again, she followed the ribbons, for the moon shone brightly up to the time that she managed to reach her home. She told her father everything that had happened to her, and he immediately gave orders for an entire regiment to surround the castle as soon as the bridegroom was to arrive. The soldiers did as he ordered. Then the bridegroom came the same day and asked right away why the princess had not come to him as she had promised to do. Then she said, "I had such a dreadful dream. I dreamt I came to a home where an old woman was sitting in front of the door, and she said to me, 'What a good thing it is, my child, that you have come now, because nobody is home, and I must tell you I had to carry water to a large kettle. They want to kill you and then boil and eat you.' And as she was speaking, the robbers came home. Then, before anyone could notice, the old woman said, 'Quick, go down into the cellar and hide behind the large barrel.' No sooner did I hide behind the barrel than the robbers came down the cellar stairs and dragged an old woman with them. Then they grabbed hold of her and murdered her. After they had murdered the old woman, they pulled all the rings from her fingers, one after another. But they couldn't pull the gold ring from one of her fingers, so one of the robbers grabbed a hatchet and chopped off the finger, which flew into the air and fell behind the barrel right into my lap. And here is the finger!" Bitch loves her drama. Holy shit. Did you be like, "Those assholes murdered Grandma. I have her fucking finger." She had to make it all about her. Get to the point, bitch. Can't get through the forest like in less than a day. I bet, like, it's, like, 20 feet away, but she runs some crazy zigzag. She's like, "Oh, it's gonna take me all day." Yeah, because bitch can't make the fucking straight line from point A to point B. God fucking damn. Upon saying this, the princess suddenly drew the finger from her pocket. When the bridegroom heard and saw all this, he became chalk white from fright. He immediately thought of fleeing and jumped through the window. However, there were guards standing beneath the window. They caught the bridegroom and his entire band of robbers. All of them were executed as payment for their villainy. You know, I know they say they caught the bridegroom and his entire band of robbers. I like to think of them all jumping out of the window and they were, like, physically being caught by the guards, like, one at a time. Like, standing to catch him out of oop, but then just, like, chucking him into the prison wagon. Tell me that's not a beautiful fucking image. They're lemmings. They have to follow. Anyway, intermission, so I can take a drink. I finished a story. I bet you thought I wasn't gonna, and I did. Ha! In your face. 2020. I hit 50K. I'm just like, I'm so cocky. Good content. I got 50K subscribers now. My content's gonna go even more into the trash. I'm a star. I can't drink normal water. I have to drink fizzy kidney water. It's a 50K thing. You wouldn't understand. I check tomorrow. 49K. God damn it. Okay, so this one is Herr Corbis, but that sounds like it's going to take difficulty to pronounce, and I'm quite high, so I'm just saying Herr Corbis. It's Herr Corbis. Herr Corbis. Once upon a time, there was a little hen and a little rooster who wanted to take a trip together. So the little rooster built a beautiful wagon with four red wheels and hitched four little mice to it. Of course they did. This is the thing. In fairy tale world, this crazy shit happens. Then the little hen climbed into the wagon along with the little rooster, and this is how they drove off. Soon they came across a cat who asked, "Where are you going?" "We are off to see her corpse today." "We're off without delay." "Take me with you," said the cat. "Gladly," answered the little mouse. "Sit in the back so you won't fall off in front. Be sure you take good care." Oh, God, he's rhyming. "Be sure you take good care, for I've got clean red wheels down there." I'm sorry, I'm such a fucking retard. I was huffing glue before this. Ooh, it gets you real high. Makes you forget your problems. Roll on, you wheels. Hi-ho. Squeak, squeak, you mice. Hi-ho. We're off to see her corpse today. We're off without delay. Soon a millstone came, followed by an egg. Why not? A duck, a pin, and a sewing needle. Go fuck yourself, fairy tales. You're just pulling shit out your asshole. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself, you fucking piece of shit. This is trash. There's no continuity. I want my money back for this PDF that I downloaded. I spent $0, but I still want my money back. Okay. An egg, a duck, a pen, a sewing needle, who all got in the wagon. Why the fuck? Why? And rode along. However, when they arrived at her corpse house, he wasn't there. The little mice pulled the wagon into the barn. The little hen and little rooster flew up on a perch. The cat settled down on the hearth. The duck took a place by the well sweep, whatever the fucking fuck that is. The egg wrapped itself in a towel, like eggs are known to do. The pin stuck itself in a chair cushion. Why the fuck? That's not handy. The sewing needle jumped on the bed right into the pillow so I can stick my head into it later when I lay down. And the millstone climbed to the top of the door. When her corpse came home, he went to the hearth to make a fire, but the cat threw ashes right into his face. Oh, they're going to murder him horribly. Okay, I take it back. This is an excellent plan. He ran quickly into the kitchen to wash the ashes off, but the duck splashed water in his face. Actually, that kind of seems like it would help. Am I wrong? You're trying to wash it off. Hey, take this water. Like, oh no, it's washing me effectively. As he tried to dry himself with a towel, the egg rolled toward him and broke open so that his eyes became glued shut. That's not how eggs work. Has this person never seen an egg? The egg glued his eyes shut? Was it an egg full of super glue? That's not an egg. Fairy tale eggs are effective glue to intruders' eyes. And apparently the egg also suicide bombed itself because it murdered itself to blind this man. Just realize it killed itself. Suicide fucking terrorist shit. You can see it. It's crazy. It's made of glue. This isn't an egg. What the hell alien thing is this? Okay. Now he wanted to rest and sit down in the chair. My eyes are glued shut. I'm not wanting to rest. But the pin stuck him. This made him very irritated. And so he went to lay down in bed. Oh, see. I called it all. It's like fucking Final Destination, right? But the sewing needle stuck him just as his head hit the pillow. He became so angry and mad that he wanted to run out of the house. Just as he got through the front door, however, the millstone jumped down and killed him. Okay, my question is, how did they all meet and decide to kill this person together? I kind of want to see, like, their backstory. Like, what the fuck happened to bring this weird gang of people together to kill a person. That was dark. These are really dark. I apologize. This is going to be a good episode. I'm sure this one might not have depth. It's the last one I'm reading for this recording. It's called The Godfather. A poor man had so many children that he had already asked everyone in the world to be godfather after he had yet another child. So there was nobody left to ask. Who is this man? He's got mega ultra super sperm. He's asked, I'm guessing he's just incredibly unpopular. Everyone turned him down. He became so distressed that he lay down and fell asleep. here. Then he dreamt that he was to go outside the town gate and ask the first person he met to be godfather. Didn't he ask everyone in the world? It said world, not his world, not direct. He's a fucking idiot. I hope he's just so stupid he thinks everyone in the town is the entire world, because that makes a lot more sense. Okay, so that's what the man did. He went out in front of the gate and asked the first man he met to be godfather. The stranger gave him a little bottle of water. Don't drink it. Do not drink that bottle of water. And said, "With this water you can cure the sick. When death stands at the sick person's head, but when death stands at the sick person's feet, the patient must die. That person is crazy." Now one day the king's child became sick and death stood at the child's head, so the man cured him with the water. You know, it's impressive that he actually held on to it and believed what this dude said. I would automatically assume he was crazy and throw that in the trash. So I guess that's why I'm never healing the king's child. And this man gets to with his magic water. I mean, I like that the king just let this total stranger pour shit into his sick kid's mouth. And once your kid's sick and dying, he's just like, "Hey, can I pour shit in your kid's mouth?" He's like, "You know what? Why not? Why is why I got this kid? Yeah, just make him drink whatever. It's $5. Huh? That's how I became king. He drinks everything. I'm so rich now." Okay. The second time the king's child became sick, the man cured him again because death was standing at the head. But the third time, death was standing at the foot of the bed and the child had to die. Later, the man went to the godfather to tell him about everything. When he climbed the stairs in the house and reached the first landing, he encountered a shovel and a broom quarreling with each other, because why the fuck not? The man asked where the godfather lived, and the broom replied, "One flight higher." When he came to the second landing, he saw a bunch of dead fingers lying there. The fucking shit is this goddamn fucking world? Ah, what the fuck? I don't want to live here. I take it back. I don't want disembodied dead fingers to be a regular occurrence and just be like, "Huh, there's some dead fingers on the floor. I'll ask him a question." And asked once again where the godfather lived. "One flight higher," replied one of the fingers from one of their horrifying mouths. These fingers no doubt had that will haunt my dreams. On the third landing, there was a pile of skulls. This story is not as happy as I'd hoped. But there were skulls of pedophiles. Okay, they were bad people. Who told him once again, "One flight higher." On the fourth landing, he saw some fish sizzling in a pan over a fire. They were frying themselves. And also told him, "One flight higher." After he had climbed the fifth floor, he came to the door of a room and looked through the keyhole. That little pervert. Then he saw the godfather, who had a pair of long, long horns. When he opened the door and entered the room, the godfather quickly jumped into bed and covered himself. He was horny. "Godfather," the man said, "when I came to the first landing, a broom and shovel were quarreling." "How can you be so simple-minded?" said the godfather. "That was the servant and the maid just talking to each other." Okay. So, this guy does do drugs. I think my original theory is correct. This isn't the devil. No. This guy just does a lot of fucking drugs. So, this guy with the horns is actually telling the truth. It's clear as day. "On the second landing, I saw dead fingers lying about." "My goodness, how foolish you are. Those were salsify roots." Okay, you can at least make up a real root. Don't tell me you know the root. And you're gonna be like, "Well, salsify root is in my head." It's not a thing. It's not a thing. Not today. "On the third landing, there were skulls lying about." "You stupid man, those were cabbage heads. Why do you have so much shit on the floor?" "On the fourth landing, I saw fish in a pan frying themselves." Why are you continuing to tell this guy? He clearly doesn't care what you have to say. Just as he said that, the fish came in and served themselves on a platter. "And when I came to the fifth landing, I saw you through the keyhole and saw that you had long, long horns."
"Now that's just not true."
And that's the end? That's not a fucking ending. That's a terrible, unsatisfying non-ending. Fuck you, Grimm, your fucking bullshit fairy tale. I don't even understand. That makes no sense. I don't understand what's happening. Does anyone else understand that? Like, it literally makes no fucking sense to me. I really need to read another one because this is clearly not good enough. Maybe the one after this will be better. Or maybe it'll explain it. Maybe it just continues on and they're just like, you know what? Let's just say end just to freak people out and it's actually continuing on. So I'm going to read on so I can be even more disappointed. This one's called The Strange Feast. A blood sausage and a liver sausage had been friends for some time. Really? How long do they live? Liver sausage and blood sausage, just on average. How they meet? Got a little meat cute? A little literal meat cute because they're meats? It's got to be. That cut of meat has a meat cute. Cut of meat cute, cut, whatever. And the blood sausage invited the liver sausage for a meal at her home. At dinner time, the liver sausage merrily set out for the blood sausage. Where do they live? Where do the sausages live? I don't feel bad for thinking a charcoal burner was a grill. Do you really think? They're going to the blood sausage's house. Where the fuck that is? But when she walked through the doorway, she saw all kinds of strange things. There were many steps, and on each of them she found something different. A broom and shovel were fighting with each other. Oh my god, it's the same fucking story. Okay, but it's about a sausage, so we'll continue, because why not? And there was a monkey. Oh, look, this one's got a monkey. With a big wound on his head. And more such things. I feel like that's not enough explanation. There's a monkey with a big wound on his head. How did that happen? Are there monkey knife fights happening? I would love a monkey knife fight to just come up in one of these fairy tales. The liver sausage was very frightened and upset by this. Nevertheless, she took heart, entered the room, and was welcomed in a friendly way by the blood sausage. The liver sausage began to inquire about the strange things on the stairs, but the blood sausage pretended not to hear her, or made it seem it was not worth talking about. Or she said something about the shovel and the broom, such as, "That was probably my maid gossiping with someone on the stairs." That's a terrible lie. And she shifted the topic to something else. Then the blood sausage said she had to leave the room to go into the kitchen and look after the meal. She wanted to check to see that everything was in order and nothing had fallen into the ashes. The liver sausage began walking back and forth in the room and kept wondering about the strange things until someone appeared. I don't know who it was. Okay, you lazy ass piece of shit. Someone appeared, I don't know who it was. Bitch. And said, "Let me warn you, liver sausage, you're in a bloody murderous trap. You better get out of here quickly if you value your life." Who knows who that is? I don't know. It's just a random ass voice. Because we don't know. We don't know. We literally don't know. It's whoever you fucking want it to be. The liver sausage didn't have to think twice about this. Can a liver sausage think once? The questions that need to be asked. She ran out the door as fast as she can. She run? Does she have legs? What is a liver sausage in this universe? Are they naming people liver sausages? Okay, she ran as fast as she could, which is not at all, because she has no legs. Nor did she stop until she got out of the house and was in the middle of the street. Then she looked around and saw the blood sausage standing high up in the attic window with a long, long knife that was gleaming as though it had just been sharpened. The blood sausage threatened her with it and cried out, "If I had caught you, I would have had you." How is that an end? That's not an end. What is this, a horror movie? These are terrible stories. There's one that's got to be near it. It's Godfather Death. I'm not going to read that one because it's clearly trash. And it's going to be just like the other one. I can't read this other one. It's just about another godfather. This is the last story. It better be different than the other fucking stories. This one's called The Wandering of Thumbling. Thumbling. The Tailor's Son. This is bound to be different, I swear to God. A tailor had a son who was small and not much larger than a thumb. That's not your son. That's a tumor. the doctor removed when you were just a child. You know, the remnants of your twin, your Siamese twin, or what the fuck ever. Conjoined twin. That's not your son, man. Let it go. But apparently therefore he was called Thumbling. I feel like it's kind of fucked up to name your children after their physical attributes. Hey, what's up, big nose? Like, fuck you, Dad. I had a nose job 10 years ago. Yeah, and why do you think that was, big nose? You're welcome for being more attractive, big nose. It's a fucked up universe, dude, I'm telling you. Thumbling. Way to fucking rub it in, ass. Thumbling. Oh my god. You know, I wish instead of cuck, people just replaced it with thumbling. Whatever, you fucking thumbling. Thumbling, my favorite new insult. However, he was filled with courage and said to his father, "Father, I want to go out wandering."
"Fine with me, my son," said the old man,
who was clearly out of his fucking mind, and he took a darning needle and put a lump of sealing wax on it in the light.
"Now you'll also have a dagger to take with you on your way. You'll clearly die during this journey, but I don't care."
Crazy. The little tailor set out into the world, and his first work was with a master tailor, but the food wasn't good enough. Really? The guy's the size of a fucking thumb. Like, you can't get him something good to eat? You don't have to buy much.
"Mistress," Thumbling said to the master's wife, "if you don't give us better food, I'll take some chalk tomorrow and write, 'Too many potatoes, too little meat,' on the house door, and then I shall leave."
Oh, look at his cute little attempt at being like,
"I'm going to use chalk. I wouldn't actually want to deface your property. And I'm the size of a thumb, so it'll be real small. But everyone will know there's too many potatoes."
And you know what the next meat is going to be? Thumbling. There's plenty of meat now. Thumbling. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty gross. I'm sorry I said that. Okay, he's a little bitch.
"What do you want, you little grasshopper?" replied the wife, who became angry, grabbed a washcloth, and wanted to beat him with it. However, my little tailor crawled quickly under the thimble, looked out from beneath it, and stuck out his tongue. That guy is too fucking brash. She picked up the thimble, but Thumbling hopped into a bunch of washcloths, and as the wife began separating the washcloths to search for him, he crawled into a crack in the table. Thumbling got that big dick energy.
"Hey, hey, my lady," he cried out and raised his head from the crack.
As soon as the tailor's wife tried to hit him, he jumped into the drawers until she finally caught him and chased him out of the house. Now the little tailor continued wandering and came to a large forest where he met a band of robbers who wanted to steal the king's treasure. When they saw the little tailor, how the fuck did they see him? He's so goddamn small. They thought he could be of great help to them. So they spoke to Thumbling and said he was a good and able fellow and that he should come along with them to the treasure chamber, crawl inside and throw the money outside to them. Please tell me he did not do that. Well, Thumbling agreed. Thumbling. Brain as small as he is. So he went into the treasure chamber and examined the door and to see if there was a crack in it. Fortunately, he soon found one and wanted, if the crack is so fucking big, a thumb-sized person can fit through it, it's a huge crack. Of course he fucking found it quickly. Stupid. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm riding Thumbling too hard. He's just a little thumb-sized idiot. And I'm lost again. Fantastic. Oh, yeah, he found a crack, amazingly, that was the size of a fucking thumb. He wanted to climb through it, but one of the guards said to his companion, "Look at that nasty spider crawling over there. I'm going to stomp on it until I kill it." Wow, thanks for telegraphing your every move. "Hey!" Oh, this is a thumb link. I'm just going to pretend this guard has a really high voice, too.
"Hey, leave the spider alone!" the other guard said. "It's done nothing to you!"
He's a little pussy, too. This was how Thumbling fortunately made his way into the treasure chamber. Then he went to the window where the robbers were standing outside, and he threw one coin after another out the window. When the king examined his treasure chamber later, there was so much money missing that nobody could understand how it had been stolen, because all the locks had been well protected. The king called for more guards, who heard something rattling in the coins. They went inside and wanted to grab hold of the thief, but the little tailor sat down in a corner beneath the coin and cried out, "Here I am!" The guards ran over there, while the Thumbling leaped to another corner, and when they were in the first corner, he cried out, "Here I am!" Are these people blind? How do they not see him? How does he move that quickly? He's the size of a thumb. It should take him forever to get from one corner of the room to another. So he's got magical, like, quick movement powers. Because nobody the size of a thumb can move that quickly. Fucking tell me his legs would, like, break off or something. Let's see. The guards ran to the next corner, but like an Abbott and Costello routine, Thumbling hopped to another corner once again and cried out, "Ah, here I am!" This way. He kept making fools out of them and kept doing this until they became tired. Oh my god. And left the chamber. Way to give the fuck up. Why don't you just lock the chamber and close all and seal all the cracks, and then you've made it his tomb. There, you've taught him a fucking lesson, bitch. But no, they're just going to get tired and leave. I like to think they're just really fat. Super lazy. Now Thumbling gradually threw all the coins through the window. He sat himself down on the last one and went flying through the window. The robbers gave him tremendous praise and would have made him their captain if he had wanted that. I like that they're actually, like, good robbers. They didn't steal from him. They could have. Easily. But they wanted to make him their captain, the man the size of a thumb. Then they divided the loot, but Thumbling wouldn't take more than one coin because he couldn't carry more than that. That doesn't sound fair. He didn't want more than one. I would suggest having my new friends who want to make me their fucking loot captain give me my fair fucking share and I deposit some goddamn place. Jesus Christ. Okay. Afterward, he resumed walking, and finally, since he was not having much success with tailoring, he hired himself out as a servant at an inn. However, the maids weren't fond of him because he saw everything they did in secret without their noticing it. So he's a fucking, like, spy, right? Then he reported them afterward. Oh, he's a snitch! Thumbling's a little rat bastard! Oh, fucking narc! Thumbling! Thumbling, I thought you were cool, dude. You fucking suck, Thumbling. Good God. Fucking Thumbling. As a result, they wanted very much to shank a bitch. Play a prank on him. So one time, when he went for a walk in the meadow, where a maid was mowing the grass, she mowed him together with the grass and threw the grass and Thumbling to the cows when she returned home. I mean, I'm impressed the mower didn't just rip him to pieces. Like, the size of a thumb, it should cut him the shit up, right? Like, tell me somebody's going to mow the lawn, they'll mow it over your thumb, nothing's going to happen. He should be chopped up. He's not, but he should be. Clearly not human, considering he can move, like, the speed of light. And a mower can't kill him. He is a demon spawn. That is why the man's wife didn't give birth to a fucking thumb. It's some kind of weird hybrid demon child thing. Thumbling. So they tried to kill him and it didn't work. Threw the grass and Thumbling to the cows when she returned home. Then the black cow swallowed Thumbling. And he was now cooped up inside the cow and heard that evening that the cow was to be slaughtered. How to hear it through the stomach? Who the fuck knows? He's got super hearing. He's clearly a demon. That's the only logical answer. Since his life was in danger, he cried out, "I'm here!" Where are you? In the black cow! How does anyone hear him? However, the people couldn't understand him, and they understood him saying, "I'm here." They fucking understood the first one. I think they just don't want to deal with it. I think the cow's talking to me. Okay, you need some time off. I know we're essential, but this clearly it's going to your head. However, the people couldn't understand him, and the cow was slaughtered. Fortunately, he wasn't struck by the blows of the cow. Of course not. It wouldn't matter if he was. Fucking Thumbling is all. Thumbling sees all. Thumbling cannot be killed. Thumbling was there at the beginning, and he will be there at the end. He is Thumbling. All hail Thumbling. Let's see. Fortunately, he wasn't struck by the blows of the cow and became mixed with the sausage meat. When the meat was about to be chopped up, he cried out, "Don't chop too deeply! Don't chop too deeply! I'm stuck beneath the meat!" Ah, because of all the noise, however, nobody heard him. So Thumbling, our Dark Lord and Savior, jumped quickly between the chopping knives, avoiding any harm, because, of course, he could not be harmed before he is blessed by all that dark and hideous. Ah, but he couldn't get completely away and was stuffed into a blood sausage that was hung in a chimney to be smoked, and until winter, when the sausage was to be eaten. Well, when his lodging was eventually sliced open, he jumped out and ran away. So he was smoked until winter, opened up, and was fine enough to run away. Thumbling truly is a deity among deities. The fuck is that fucking thing? Kill it with fire. No, it can't die with fire. It comes from the fires of hell. It's Thumbling. Now the little tailor wandered again. However, a fox came across the path and snatched him. "Mr. Fox," Thumbling cried, "you've got me. Let me go." "All right," said the fox, "since there's not very much of you. I'll let you go if you get your father to give me all the hens in the chicken yard." So Thumbling swore that he'd do this, and the fox carried him to his home and was given all the hens in the chicken yard. Meanwhile, the little tailor brought his father the one coin he had earned from all his wanderings. But why did the fox get all the poor little hens to eat?
"Oh, you fool! A father certainly loves his child more than he does his hens."
What the fuck? It's not an ending! So, Satan did a bunch of crazy shit. And then just to fuck with his earth father, he gave the fox all the hens in the house and then gave him one gold coin and was like, "Suck it, bitch, I'm your son and I'm the size of a thumb. You love me, don't you?" Gave him with the crazy, like, demon eyes, and he's like, "Yes, Thumbling, I love you. All hail Thumbling." And on that note, that's it. We have finished another Drunk and Dangerous. All hail Thumbling. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I did too. I now have a new deity to worship, a little thumb-sized man called Thumbling. And I hope you guys all stay safe while Little Dung Heap is burning and that you enjoyed. And hopefully, I will see you here next week. All right, I'll talk to you later, guys.